Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Could new cars start to outgrow parking spaces? Well, new research from the UK shows that the average width has increased from 168 centimetres to 180 centimetres, but parking spots are a minimum of 180 centimetres. So how have towns adapted and changed, and how have some towns managed with a reduction in parking spaces on main streets, particularly since COVID? Well, I'm joined by Michael Sheridan, motoring journalist, and Simon Wall, who's the former Westport town architect and senior architect in Mayo County Council, and you're both very welcome. So Michael, have you ever had to crawl out of the boot to escape the car?
I've had to crawl out of the boot. I've had to do the old crawling over the centre console. And, you know, just to paint a picture for people, I'm a full-sized adult. By that I mean, you know, I've grown and exceeded expectations for maybe my silhouette. So hopping across the centre console, you know, putting your back out, your shoulder goes half dislocated. Then you've got one foot trapped, and then you're trying to get into the passenger seat. Then you literally fall out the passenger door and you get out of the car and you brush yourself down, and then you see the crowd with their phones videoing
you. Yes, and you pretend nothing unusual has happened.
It's a nightmare, but I had a joyous experience this morning because I'm so paranoid about where I park because of car sizes and reducing car spaces that I parked beside a hedgerow. So my driver's door was beside that. So I knew that nobody would be able to pull in beside me and stop me getting in and out of the car like a rock star.
Yes.
I was just going to be able to go up and know I can get into my car and not be terrified that I'd be boxed in and would have had to crawl through the boot, or worse still, do a half an hour of stretching before I could try and attempt going in from the passenger
door. But listen, this is a real issue, isn't it? Because cars are much bigger now than they were.
They are. They're huge. And as the survey said, everything has been growing by about a centimetre every 2 years. The life cycle of a car is designed and built for maybe 8 years. Midway through that, it gets a facelift, which usually means new bumpers and new lights just to freshen it up. But essentially, it's the same bit of engineering underneath. With the adoption of more safety aids, the demand for more interior space to be able to fit adults in the back of cars, to be able to fit three adults comfortably in the back of cars with safety belts, with airbags and all this sort of thing, and to still have a functioning boot, a boot that can work for families that can take a big shop and that can take a travel cot or take a buggy. God knows the size of buggies that people have to carry, travel systems, to give them their full name, in boots these days. So the demand from consumers is for larger cars. Mm-hmm. And the car companies, they're not doing this for the good of their health. They will sell us everything they can and they will try and maximise profit. Big cars make more profit for them. Smaller cars are very hard to make profitably. So we're all being pushed in this direction. But yet, consumers are demanding bigger cars. Spaces don't seem to have gotten any bigger.
Prepared to crawl out in a very
Absolutely.
Embarrassing way. Now, Simon, listening to all of this, and as I said, former Westport town architect and senior architect in Mayo County Council. So the cars are growing, but what you did in Westport was you pushed back against that, really, because you have reduced the number of parking spaces on the main streets in Westport to about half of what they were. Is that right?
Well, it wasn't quite half, but yes, Claire, cars are certainly getting bigger in our towns, more dominant in our streetscapes and within our public realm, which is the public space between the buildings within our towns. Now, local authorities can't really change the growth of cars because people choose this by freedom of choice through purchase. And I suppose the car size debate can polarise people both locally and nationally. However, what we did in Westport over 20 years, we embraced both big and small car owners to encourage less use of their cars. And we did this by making towns more walkable and livable. So getting people out of cars, what the technical people would call modal shift, to make the right choices. And us as local authority executives did judicious management of the public realm through a palette of really positive solutions. And just before I get into the solutions, I'd like to talk about really the town square and the public realm. Historically, the town square in an Irish rural town was the living room of the town. If the town was a building or a house, the town square was its living room. They were great places for social discourse, markets, political gatherings for people like Michael Collins and Dev on the back of horse carts. And they heralded in, I suppose, the foundation of our state. But since the demise of the rural Irish town from, say, the 1960s and the 50s onwards, of many of them, the main public squares, these cultural these cultural entities in the town centre have been relegated to, I suppose, the cultural presence of a supermarket car park.
Mm-hmm.
They've been covered in tarmac and white lines. So what we tried to do is reverse that and enhance the public realm by a series of interventions.
But it's interesting. Like, it's interesting, Simon, that you know you don't sound anti-car. Like, you accept that people want to drive cars and they want to drive these bigger cars that Michael described so well a little earlier. It's just where they put them. That's the issue.
That's true. But I also want to give people the choice of not using their car. Inside every car is a pedestrian with a full metal jacket just dying to get out and walk down a lovely streetscape. And that's really what we're trying to do. So we try to, I suppose the first thing we did in Westport is we acquired a lot of the backlands, brownfield sites, to create car parking spaces. So it allowed us to take car parking away from the main streets, our historic cores like the Octagon and the Clock area, and really put in interventions instead of car parking spaces for sitting down, for trees, for sculpture, for outdoor dining. And in doing that, we have all of 50% of the car parking in Westport is in the backlands and 50% is in the streetscape. If we didn't acquire those lands in the backgrounds, we couldn't have freed up the streetscape to make nice pedestrianized spaces. So that was a really important thing in terms of our strategy for the town, which we kind of established around the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing then is creating, what's been very positive for us is parklets, creating outdoor dining. Instead of a car parking space, you may have a small cafe. It can double its table size or its table units by having an outdoor space outside the building instead of a car parking space. And especially on a sunny day, obviously on a rainy day, it doesn't work as much. But and COVID has really pushed that as well. And people in shops are beginning to realize the value of the car parking space doing something else outside your shop, which probably they didn't recognize the value of that, say, 20 or 30 years ago.
Yeah, well, if you hadn't seen it up to that point, you wouldn't know what that space could be used for. So, Michael, listening to all of that, all of these people in the big cars, do they just want to throw them up on the footpath in the centre of town?
Absolutely, because they're clearly maniacs and they hate society. It's funny, while what sounds in Westport, it sounds ideal and it sounds lovely, you know, the notion of cafe society and being able to stroll around the place and having a heart of a town. It is essential and it's very, very important. But the reality of having to get kids around the place, to unfold buggies, to load shopping, to do this and the other, we really have to be realistic and say people want to be able to move their family around or move in vehicles of their choice, and that's just the way it is now. These spaces are lovely, but we have to ensure that we don't penalise people who don't necessarily want to stroll or who have to assemble a stroller to put the twins into it. The toddler's trying to run away and you've got to get them in and you've got to carry this and you've got to go and pick up a flat screen TV to bring home that you've been trying to get into your car for mm-hmm. ages. So the reality is we've no influence really over what the manufacturers give us, only demand. So if people demand smaller cars that use up less space, that are more able to be used stress-free in towns, like I'm a great believer in downsizing and having the right size car. Don't go into a large car if you don't need it, because it's very inefficient in so many ways and bad for the planet and the environment and all that sort of thing. But the reality is car makers are still giving us this. They're pushing it. It's like a fashion item. Everybody's into their SUVs. An SUV now is as big as the biggest car, the biggest fat cat 20 years ago, or bank manager, whoever, these ministerial Merc-sized cars. Your average car now has that much space and takes up that much footprint on the road.
Okay, Simon, can I come back to you on that point that Michael was making a little earlier? If you have your buggy, or if you have mobility issues, or if you need to do your shopping, how are those people catered for in Westport?
Absolutely. You need a car for particular chores. If you're buying your flat screen TV or a large amount of shopping, you will need your car to get in and out of town. But and we do have those car parking spaces in the backlands adjacent to supermarkets. But another thing that we've introduced for the non-essential journeys that don't have to be made by car is the Smarter Travel Programme, where we introduced urban and suburban greenways, connecting 70% of the residential areas within the town. And that means if you're a child and you want to go to your neighbours or the neighbouring housing estate to socialise, your parents don't have to bring you in the car. You can go on the greenway. And that's interlinked with parks and spaces and skate parks and things like that. So we've reduced significantly local journeys in terms of going between neighbourhoods by creating this urban and suburban network of urban greenways. It costs us about $5 million to introduce over 5 years. But again, it was an initiative from the Department of Transport to try and reduce the dependency on cars. So if you give people the right, the ability to make positive choices, to use their cars less, you're never going to get rid of the car, but to try and encourage people to use it less mm-hmm. is always very positive. Also in terms of just your basic health. And we found with these urban and suburban greenways that people not only have the reduced journeys, but they also use them socially in the evenings as recreational routes going between different districts within the town, yeah. which has been very successful.
Simon, I just want to mention a couple of messages that we're getting in on this. People are very engaged on this issue of bigger cars. Michael, this listener says, multiply the size of the car you've just told us about by two if you're meeting on a country road, two of these big cars. These roads are the same width as when the cars from the 60s and 70s were on them. Now put cyclists in the mix. It's a national issue.
It is an issue, but it's also a national reality. And while SUVs look very big and imposing, you know, they're about many of them are shorter than an estate car. You know, if you lower their height, their footprint on the road it's large, but it's not outrageous. It's not ridiculously huge. If you take any large SUV down a Dublin back road, you'll find that they won't even fit in the painted car parking spaces mm-hmm. because there may be a full tyre width or even half a tyre width too wide for that. So people need to really make choices about what size of vehicle they have and why they have it. And unless we have a conversation about
it. And
do you really need it? And if you don't need it, because all of these greenways, if we can get, like, look when the schools are off and there wasn't traffic on the roads, if we have people able to do alternative things and work around it. But we can't deny cars are here. The manufacturers are forcing people just by trends into larger cars, but we all need to take responsibility ourselves and get the most efficient size and most easiest size to use.
Michael Sheridan and Simon Wall, thank you both for joining us, and thank you for sending all of those messages in. I'll try and come to them a little bit later on. 51551 is the number you need to text. Still to come in the next hour, worsening flooding at Loch Finchina as farmers and homeowners continue to plead for help, and childcare is a huge cost for Irish families, but for some it's simply unavailable. We're going to take a look at how it works in other countries. That's all on the way.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.